Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The fourth commandment reads in Exodus chapter 20, Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord God. In it thou shalt do no work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. This is the commandment of our study today. Now, friend, the Jewish Sabbath was observed corresponding to our Saturday, the seventh day of the week. The word Sabbath means seventh, taken from the Hebrew word meaning a day of rest. Now, there are certain principles borne out in this fourth commandment, the principle of rest from honest labor, the principle of perpetual worship, and the principle of work itself. Originally, the Sabbath was given to the Israelite nation. There is no evidence that Adam or Abraham or others who lived prior to the giving of the law of Moses at Mount Sinai observed the Sabbath day. Genesis 2 and verse 3 reads, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work. But the question is, did God sanctify that day immediately upon his completion of his creative work, or later when he gave the law of Moses to the Israelites? Friend, we must remember that Moses wrote Genesis 2 and verse 3 several years after the Ten Commandments were given to Israel orally, and there is no indication that the early patriarchs knew anything about observing the Sabbath day. And further evidence of this is to consider what is said in Nehemiah chapter 9, 13 and 14. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right commandments and true laws and good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts and statutes and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant. This tells us that the Sabbath was made known at Mount Sinai. The reason God required the observance of the Sabbath, however, is stated for us in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God brought thee out from thence through a mighty hand and stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Because they had labored and worked and slaved so long and had been deprived of worship and rest by the heathen, God gave them this Sabbath. The Sabbath was exclusively, friend, for the Israelites, because God said it is a sign between me and the children of Israel, Exodus 31 and verse 17. It was never to Gentile people. The entire law of Moses, including these Ten Commandments, was given just to the Israelite nation. More than the seventh-day weekly observance was involved by the Jews. In Leviticus 6 and 26 and verse 2, we read, Ye shall keep my Sabbaths, I am the Lord. Now notice the plural Sabbaths. It's used extensively in the Old Testament, and God's name is joined to all of them. In the course of 50 years, the number of Sabbaths the Jews were to observe totaled nearly 16 years, more than a fourth of the time, because there was not only the Sabbath day each week, but the Passover, the Day of First Fruits, the Feast of the Trumpets, the Feast of the Tabernacles, the Sabbath of Years, the Year of Jubilee, the Days of Atonement. Little wonder that Paul later described the old law as a yoke of bondage, and a yoke which he said which neither our father nor we were able to bear. Furthermore, The restrictions concerning the Sabbath were severe, and violations brought punishment. There was to be no work, not even the gathering of sticks for a fire, no cooking, no travel. Now we might wonder, where is the application of this fourth commandment upon Christians? Friend, it is not binding upon Christians, except in the principles it demonstrates, because the old covenant was to extend, as God said, to the Jews through your generations. This limited the extent of the Jewish dispensation. Whereas every other of the Ten Commandments is included or expanded upon in the new covenant of which Christ is the mediator, it is significant that the command to remember the Sabbath is not included anywhere in the covenant of Christ. The fourth is an exception to this matter of inclusion. As we have said before, so say we now again, the reason we believe and accept the other commandments, it's not because God gave them to the Jews through Moses, but because Christ included them in his will. We are to obey them because of the authority of God through Christ, not because of the authority of God to Israel through Moses. Is it not true that Jesus observed the Sabbath, some would ask? Well, yes, he did. We would expect that, because he lived under the law of Moses as a Jew. But he never bound its observance upon his followers after the kingdom of heaven came into existence, beginning with Pentecost. Christ and his apostles and the early Christians, they worked, they rested, they worshiped. It would be intemperate for them to do otherwise. But this was not in observance of the Sabbath for the early Christians. The early Christians assembled on the first day of the week, Acts 20 and verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. It was that day that they partook of the Lord's Supper and gave of their means. The first day of the week was the day of the week that Christ rose from the dead. It was that day that the church began on Pentecost. These facts are attested in the inspired scripture as well as secular history. There's nothing in the faith of Christ that includes the observance of the Sabbath day. We see then the distinction between the fourth commandment and all the others. The other nine are included or expanded upon in the will of Christ, but this one, it's limited, it's omitted, except for certain principles that we have already noted. Now, no study of the fourth commandment would be complete without at least passing attention given to the words regarding work. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Rest from work implies that first there must be work from which we can rest. The necessity of work was borne out in the new covenant of Christ. Henry Van Dyke once wrote, "This is the gospel of labor. Ring it, ye bells of the church. The Lord of love comes down from above to dwell with men who work." Man's good and happiness is connected with work. Edom was not a place of idleness. It was a place of work. The Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress and to keep it, Genesis 2 and verse 15. There is even activity in heaven. In Jacob's dream, the angels were not idle. They were ascending and descending the ladder which he envisioned. Jesus is praying mansions for those who enter therein. There is activity in heaven, friend. Jesus worked while he was here on earth. He said, "My Father worketh even until now, and I work." We are children of a working God. We are beneficiaries of a working Savior. We should honor their calling by a life of diligent and faithful work. Paul taught, if one would not work, he should not eat, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. It is important to note that the same commandment which speaks of a day of rest speaks of a day of labor. While many offer a lot of talk about the rest, they may not have sufficient emphasis upon the other 6 days of work. The philosophy entertained in the minds of too many is to do less and less so they can receive more and more. This ultimately, of course, has its limits. It may be difficult to determine which is more reprehensible, the professional, willful loafer or shirker, or the system which harbors and encourages the behavior of laziness. James Vance said, God is on the side of the worker. The worker has rights. The willful idler has none, whether he belong to the idle rich or to the idle poor. Friend, to ignore God's decree calling for man to work is as wrong as any other violation of his will. Nothing worthwhile has been built by people who tried to do as little as they can, but by those who try to do as much as they can. Consider our own nation. Our land is great because God has blessed us, but this blessing has been given in response to work. This nation affords the greatest freedoms on earth, such as the freedom of worship and religion, but these freedoms are ours because they were accomplished with God's providence by long, hard, sacrificial work. It is fair to raise the question whether the attitudes of doing less and less for more and more will preserve these precious liberties that we have inherited. If our enemies outwork us, they're going to outlast us. Relaxation and leisure, they have their place in their proper time and their proper right. There are serious and justifiable questions, however, being raised with the increased leisure and less work. Those who violate the principles of the fourth commandment, they're idlers, they neglect worship, they've secularized the day of worship for their own worldly pursuits. God will hold those responsible who do not use the Lord's day in the way that the Lord has prescribed it to be used. It is to be used for worship and not for labor and mundane and secular and worldly activities. A common fallacy among us is to assume that labor has only to do with the work of man's hands. But that's not true. The labor of man's mind is also work. The thinker, the statesman, the preacher, the planner, the clerk, the salesman, the writer, the artist, the engineer, the doctor, all of those, it may not be primarily physical work, but it's mental work, and it's work nonetheless. And regardless of one's added honorable occupation, the law of God regarding labor, it applies. All who live harmoniously with the principles of the fourth commandment will work, they will rest, and they will worship. Now, sometimes some complain, I don't go to worship because Sunday is the only day I have. They use that as an excuse for not worshiping God on Lord's Day and attending to matters that they prefer to do. But quite the opposite is true. Sunday may well be the only day you do not have. It's the Lord's day. And while we do not observe Sunday as the Jews observed the Sabbath, there are certain duties to be discharged on Sunday that we dare not overlook. In one sense, all days, of course, belong to the Lord. But it is our duty on the first day of the week to assemble with our brethren, to partake of the Lord's Supper and to give of our means, to attend to the matters of worship, and to emphasize the spiritual side of life. Friend, to omit worship and use that day for the satisfaction of other appetites, it's to miss the teaching and the principles of the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day? No. But remember the first day of the week. That's the day for the Christian. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.